Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman back with you live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for July number one, July 1st. In the year of our Lord, 2021, this is our two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, there's so much to discuss, it's just shocking. Brian Rust did a phenomenal job. I guess Donald Trump was on a Fox News feed. He was supposed to be talking about the border, and he was, but then Fox News just cut off its live coverage of Donald Trump, just shut off the mic on him. Yeah, they cut off his remarks at the nation's southern border yesterday after he began discussing his allegations of fraud in the 2020 elections. Despite, quote, heavy promotion of the event, the network abruptly returned to studio coverage after Donald Trump claimed he had won the 2020 presidential election. We had an election where we did much better than we did the first time, and amazingly, we lost, the former president said during his remarks. Wow. I just want to thank the people of Texas because we won in a landslide. It was not even close, Trump added. We got 12 million more votes than we got the first time, he continued. And it's kind of interesting. The former president's audio was cut off by Fox News shortly after those comments. And then they continued coverage for the New York studios. What a shame, huh? I don't really know how to relate to this, but Raw Story captured the Fox News coverage change and posted it to YouTube. Now YouTube will shut down Raw Story, right? Yeah. Anyway, very interesting. I guess they posted a video about this ahead of Trump's what do you want to call it? I guess they're going to be streaming it live. They were on Facebook and everything else, even though Trump had been deplatformed, because it would be under the news channel, not under Trump's channel. And then this all became just a big old fiasco. What do you think of all that, ladies and gentlemen? Securing the border is not just important to Texas, it's vital to America. That's why Trump is at the border. Yeah. Fox promoted it thus. Tomorrow, President Trump will join me and law enforcement officials for a border security briefing. Anyway, there you have it. I guess it was also promoted to the Greg Abbott, Texas governor Facebook page, and the Facebook live stream was considered somewhat controversial because they banned Trump. And of course, they had a 2-year ban on Trump's account, keeping him off of Facebook and Instagram until 2023. Hopefully, we'll build enough media stuff by then and not even need their goofy platforms. Trump also published an op-ed on Wednesday blaming Joe Biden for the humanitarian catastrophe because of his immigration policies and the problems and crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border. When I was president, Trump said, I delivered on my promise to build a border wall to protect our country. All Joe Biden had to do was paint it, Trump said in his Washington Times article, which was headlined, I built the wall, Biden built a humanitarian catastrophe. Instead, Biden has enacted the most radical open borders agenda imaginable. Anyway, there's the big details on it. Now, I don't quite agree with Trump. He didn't build the wall all the way, and all we got to do is paint it. That's not really true. Trump talks out of turn from time to time, talks off the cuff, speaks out of turn, kind of makes some holistic comments that aren't really true in their totality are real. But it is true that he had a Biden, or, I'm sorry, he had a 180-degree different foreign policy and border policy than Biden has. That is true. And the big battle's on about it, and we're starting to see the repercussions of border crisis. I mean, you have all kinds of states now being involved in saying, if the federal government won't do anything, we're going to have to do it ourselves. So you can't blame the states for this. But anyway, kind of interesting, though. Fox is ready to promote the border problem with Donald. Then Donald goes off and says the election was a fraud, and then they literally freak out, shut him down. What is all this shutting down of Clarence Thomas? Shutting down of you know, Donald Trump? Shutting down of this person and that person? It is very, very unhealthy and anti-American to just start shutting people down like this. I mean, it's just unacceptable behavior, in my opinion. It's just like, what on earth is going on here, folks? I mean, what are we going to do about this kind of stuff? Anyway, it's true disaster for sure. I'll tell you that right now. Now, on another note, I guess there's a big old battle going on between Shaquille O'Neal. I don't know if you saw this. Big old Shaq battle with LeBron James. I don't know if you saw this battle, but LeBron has been whining about racial issues forever, right? Literally kind of melting down, acting like it's everybody else's fault and this and that. And Shaquille basically is like, hey, you know what, LeBron? What are you whining about? You've literally make, what, $200 million a year or something crazy? And you've got people that flat out don't even have jobs. They're unemployed right now. And I think this is very interesting because I believe Shaq's right on this. Shaq is just going, what the heck are you talking about, man? Shaq slams LeBron NBA whining. You're making $200 million and 40 million people have been laid off? Yeah. There you have that. Think about that for a minute. Shaq slams LeBron. NBA battles, these rich guys. Now, as far as I understand, both these gentlemen are black, right? And one of them sees it right, in my opinion, which is shame on you. You're telling me the black man's been kept down by the whites? How is that true for you, LeBron? And Shaq wisely points this out. I'm normally not a big old Shaq fan, but I'm telling you right now, on this, he's spot on. He's going, you know what? Shame on you. You're making a $200 million. The whites certainly haven't held you down, LeBron. And now you're complaining and whining and moaning and everything else. But yeah, there's 40 million Americans that are flat out struggling for work now. I mean, shame on you. And I think this is a real issue. I'm not really here to try to attack LeBron, but I am here to attack the racism I am here to attack the whining and the misrepresentation that everything is racially driven as LeBron is trying to make you believe. In this case, I got to back Shaq. And I got to say, you know what? He's right. Quit your whining. There's people that are really, really, really suffering out there. And it's not fair to just complain about how unfair this country is. Now, how many black people have we just mentioned on the air that are doing well? You got Ben Carson. You got Clarence Thomas. You got Shaquille O'Neal. You got LeBron James. I mean, those are four black people that haven't been held down at all by this country. In fact, they've made it to the top of their respective realms, right? How does that happen in a hardcore racist country? In a white privileged scenario where everybody's, okay, it doesn't. That's the lie, okay? Now, there was a video where in government school they were teaching critical race theory, and a father found out what his daughters and his children were being taught, and he freaked. And he went in there and he ripped on the school board. There's a video of this, by the way. He ripped on the school board. He's a black guy. And he went, how did I get where I got if everybody's racist and shutting me down and holding me back and keeping the black man down? How did I get where I got? And he lays out this incredible, cogent, very articulate, I don't know if you call it a rant. I mean, it's almost a documentary because he talks about his life and who he is. And, man, he hasn't been held back at all. So you put all these people together and you go, wow, the narrative sure is different between the LeBron Jameses of the world and the Shaquille O'Neals of the world. It's sure different narrative between those complaining about Clarence Thomas. You got to shut his documentary down. What about Bill Cosby? Isn't he a black dude? He just got released. Was there justice for that black man? To some degree. I think he was wronged, and I mentioned this last hour. But I look at all these different people, and every one of them has had a great, prosperous life in America. More so than they would have received in any other country. I can promise you that one. Anyway, I just find it very interesting, the narrative that we hear these days. And I go off on this. You know what? If any of you want to chime in on some of these topics we've been discussing over the last hour and a half, we've got a little bit left of the program. We'd love to hear from you. 208-216-6100 is the number you can dial. That's 208-216-6100. And Cameron will watch for your calls and let me know you're there, and we can talk about some of these real issues. But, man, Cosby released from prison. Clarence Thomas, you can't even see a documentary about him if Amazon has their say. LeBron James and Shaquille O'Neal in a battle. Donald Trump and Clarence Thomas and everybody else getting shut down everywhere. What do you say, ladies and gentlemen? 208-216-6100. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So Fox News cut off its live coverage of former President Donald Trump. He's at the southern border. They were all happy to cover that, but when he started talking about vote fraud in the 2020 elections, they just flat-out cut his mic. Trump, quote, "We better get our elections straightened out because we're going to have a runaway country if you don't. You're going to have a banana republic. You're going to have a third-world country here pretty soon because our elections are a mess," said Trump. I think he's right. All right, Governor Brian Kemp's in the news. He's what, Georgia governor? Yeah, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp. Biden is now weaponizing the Department of Justice. Now, let me kind of drill into this with you, ladies and gentlemen. These are serious allegations. When you have the President of the United States, former President Trump, literally shut down by networks and news outlets and social media sites by the boatload, by the dozens. And then you literally have them shutting down the Clarence Thomas documentary just about his life. And it's political, I guess, because he's a Supreme Court justice. But I fail to really see how Created Equal, the documentary, is really a political discussion. It's about the life of Justice Thomas, okay? But Created Equal is an interesting, blessed phrase. That's why the film's named that. Anyway, so you got Trump being shut down. You got Clarence Thomas being shut down and manipulated. Now Fox News cutting off the live coverage. Trump talking about the elections. Shaq slams LeBron's NBA whining. Governor Brian Kemp now saying the Justice Department is being weaponized by Joe Biden. Now, these are serious allegations because the Justice Department is unconstitutional anyway, right? I don't know how to respond to all that. But all I'm telling you is when you have governors making allegations like that, I don't really remember in my growing up years, ladies and gentlemen. I really don't remember such allegations of criminal activity. I mean, if the Justice Department is really being weaponized by the President of the United States, I mean, Biden swore to uphold the Constitution when he was sworn in. And weaponizing the Justice Department, weaponizing the IRS, weaponizing the Food and Drug Administration, weaponizing these agencies is literally criminal activity to the highest order. Are we going to let this stuff stand or what? Are we going to tolerate this? Are we going to let this be the order of the day in America? I mean, it's one thing to say there's criminal activity by rogue agents in government, right? Hey, you know, the Justice Department or the FBI or the CIA or the Homeland Security or the, you know, whatever, the NSA. Hey, there's some bad apples there. We got to stop them. It's one thing to make claims like that. But it's a whole nother thing to say the President of the United States in the executive branch is literally weaponizing an unconstitutional government agency like the Justice Department against the people. That's a serious, serious allegation. And I'm going to make this statement. If Brian Kemp is right, then we need to shut down the Justice Department and prosecute Biden to the fullest extent of the law. However, if Brian Kemp is wrong with such allegations, then we need to literally arrest Brian and recall him as governor. What I mean is you just can't let these kind of allegations just go like, oh, they're entitled to their opinion. No. When you say that a government agency is being weaponized in America, and especially of all departments we're talking about, the Department of Justice to be weaponized? Now, folks, I always wondered where the Department of Mercy was in government to go along with justice. You know, the great atonement of Jesus Christ is based on justice and mercy, right? So I'm kind of wondering, where's the Department of Mercy in the government rather than just the Department of Prosecutor Justice, right? Anyway, there you have it. Now, this is also an interesting story. I guess Donald Trump was supposed to have a rally. And I guess the rally didn't go so well because they decided to just flat out cancel the rally when they found out who the speaker was. So they found out the speaker was Donald Trump, and they just shut down the rally. I kid you not. And it was supposed to be a rally in a park. And what they started to try to claim was, well, we're not going to have the rally in the park because of Donald Trump speaking. But officials cancel the rally when the planners identify the speaker as Donald Trump. They say that's not allowed in the park, even though it is. They are. It has been in the past. It's hard to know how to respond to some of these headlines, isn't it? I mean, they're so shocking. Can you really just, if you find out the speaker's tunneled, just shut it down? They say partisan events are not allowed in the park. This is where, again, parties are just a disaster for the American people. Parties, as the founding fathers said, should be flat out jettisoned, right? I mean, I just don't really understand, except for they're all admitting that it's because they hate Trump so badly that whatever it takes to shut Trump down, they will do. Is that really where we are in America? And then my question to you, is it really about Trump? Or is it about canceling the rally for you and I? If they're weaponizing the Department of Justice, and if they're shutting everybody down, canceling rallies and everything else, if they're literally looking at Americans as the domestic threat, conservatives like you and me, what is the next step? Where does the next end game go with this thing? I mean, it's a real serious question, isn't it? Where on earth do we go with that kind of discussion in America? Right? Where do we go from there? It's a fair question indeed. And it really comes down to, what are Americans going to do? What are the American people going to do with their time, their money? Are we going to back groups like the Western Journal, like WND.com, like Liberty Roundtable, like the Daily Wire? Or are we just going to promote the mainstream as we've always done? All right. Anyway, Biden embarrasses himself. Triple gaffes trying to say oceanic. The bottom line is President Biden is making mistakes everywhere he goes, to the point where even the Democrats are now questioning his stability. Right? Now, this is an interesting headline that I just found. Check this out. Ready? Ah, shoot. Headline says, person who fled a communist nation now speaks out saying, you're saying that domestic white supremacy is worse of a threat than communism. Anyway, slams those who make that kind of a claim. I think wisely so, too. I mean, how do you even claim it's even close to as bad, right? Very interesting how we go about this stuff, right? Communism survivor slams Democratic leaders who claim white nationalism more dangerous than communism. Not even close. Communism survivor speaking out, saying this, the idea that white supremacy is more dangerous than communism, is your mind? Joe Saunders with the Western Journal wrote this piece, but I find this very interesting too. It was the voice of experience that every American needs to hear. Obviously tired of hearing Democrats equate the documented dangers of communist dictatorship, the boogeyman, compared to that white nationalism which barely even exists. Yeah. They call it historic realities which leftists prefer to ignore. And when this person, how do you say the name? I got to work on my Asian pronunciations, right? Quang Gaiang speaks, everybody should be listening. I'll tell you about it more in seconds. Hang tight.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride. House Democrats Thursday approved a $715 billion partisan infrastructure bill. The significant difference between the chambers is that the Senate bill has provisions to help cover the cost of their framework. The House is leaving out those details for another time. China's rise is a historical inevitability, and it will no longer be bullied, oppressed, or subjugated by foreign countries. Its leader Xi said Thursday during an event commemorating the 100th anniversary of the Chinese Communist Party. Xi said foreign countries that bully China will meet a great wall of steel, end quote. Oregon Governor Kate Brown invoked the Emergency Conflagration Act on Wednesday, allowing the state fire marshal to contribute firefighters and other resources to combat a fire that has grown to 10,000 acres. The fire broke out near Defer, Oregon, Tuesday evening. Defer is just over 100 miles east of Portland. USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root from my great friends at Freedom Fest. Have you ever been to Mount Rushmore in South Dakota? Well, here's your opportunity. This July 21st through 24th, thousands of liberty lovers are headed to South Dakota for the greatest libertarian show on earth, Freedom Fest, this time held at the Rushmore Civic Center in Rapid City, South Dakota, with a record-setting crowd. Here's your chance to make new friends and meet the country's top political and business leaders, authors, and filmmakers in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Some of the star speakers this year, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Drew, Larry Elder, U.S. Senator Mike Lee, U.S. Senator Cynthia Loomis, the CEO of Whole Foods, John Mackey, Steve Moore, John Fun, Grover Norquist, Tom Woods, and the infamous pandemic mock trial. Go to freedomfest.com. Use promo code WAR50 to get $50 off the registration fee. That's freedomfest.com. With promo code WAR50, fly there, drive there, bike there, RV there, be there. Freedom Fest in South Dakota. Get your tickets now at freedomfest.com.
As America is unsure how President Biden's open border policy will play out, some states are not waiting for the fallout. Dan Naraki explains.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem is dispatching 50 members of her state's National Guard to the southern border to help deal with the illegal immigration crisis. The president of the Border Patrol Union says they always welcome any guard personnel that come to the border. Brandon Judd tells Fox News how guard troops can help Border Patrol agents in their mission.
Well, they serve as our eyes. Oftentimes, Border Patrol agents are stuck in fixed locations where they're watching cameras or they're on scope trucks. And when we're in those locations, we can't actually be out apprehending people. So the National Guard comes in and they serve as our eyes. They report directly to the Border Patrol. They radio in any traffic that they see, and then we're able to direct our agents to those locations where the illegal activity is taking place. And it's extremely effective. It allows us to put more of our manpower in the field. So we always welcome as many National Guardsmen as we can possibly get.
USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Headline, CDC, that's the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, says that the cruise industry could restart in July. Do you think it's going to happen? July 1, baby. We acknowledge that cruising will never be a zero-risk activity and that the goal is to have a phased approach to resuming passenger operations in a way that mitigates the risk. I guess head of the maritime unit of the CDC kind of speaks out and saying, so I think that's good news, right? They want to have the cruises happen. But the question becomes, what'll happen? Everybody's got to deal with the CDC's specialty or special sailing orders or whatever you want to say. And what does it mean? Will it show positive progression? They're hopeful that the CDC's latest guidance will allow for cruising. Now, the CDC provided 5 clarifications to its original feedback to allow resumption of sailing, is what they call it. They say if 98% of the crew and 95% of the passengers are fully vaccinated, then you can maintain cruise normalcy. Yeah. What do you think of all that, folks? A lot of government control there, huh? Are you comfortable with it? I'm certainly not. they're saying that they feel like, hey, we can get back to cruising. Do you believe they can? Can they get back to cruising? Question is, Cameron, would you take a cruise right now? Cameron would absolutely go on a cruise right now. He's ready to go, man. But I personally would not go on a cruise right now. Not because I'm worried about the cocoa vaccination or worried about the cocoa spreading or any of those kind of things. The reason that I would not go on a cruise right now is because I don't trust governments. And if you're not very careful, you'll get on a cruise ship and the government will lock the ship down and make you stay there. So I don't have any fear of the COVID vaccine or the COVID virus. But I do have a fear of my government getting crazy and belligerent, locking me down and ruining my life, getting me stuck on a cruise ship in very unsavory conditions. Those cruise ships are great, folks, when everything is operating properly, when they're getting constant deliveries of food and beverage and everybody can run around and clean things and all is going well. But you start to take out the stability and the, I don't know what you call it, but just in time inventory of everything for some of these cruise lines and all that kind of stuff, you're getting into a situation where it becomes not pretty quickly. Before you know it, there's people sick on deck or sick different places. Then it gets hard to clean up, and then you can't get, you know, deliveries of products and food, and you run out of teepee quickly, or you run out of food or this and that. Or all I'm telling you is the cruise ships are just incredible when they're up and running functioning perfectly. When they're not, though, it goes off the rails real fast indeed, man. And I sure don't want to get stuck on a cruise ship. So I wouldn't go cruising, like I say, not because I'm afraid of the cruise, but because I'm a little bit more afraid of how governments are going to respond to me on a cruise, you know? What do you think of that? But the restrictions on cruising, I guess there's been all kinds of lawsuits. Florida is suing the CDC. Alaska has now joined that lawsuit against the CDC over this very cruising discussion. So will they get cranked up? Will cruises be inexpensive and fun like they used to be? Sadly, what it reminds me of is the airline industry. You know, back in the day when I was a kid, the airline industry was fun. It was like, you know what? Join the friendly skies is what they called it, you know? And when I was a teenager and stuff like that, or, you know, in my 20s, Southwest Airlines, they were the fun airline, man. You get on the airline and they'd tell you jokes, that'd be fun, and everybody was feeling happy, and they give you great snacks on the planes and great drinks, and, you know, you can get two or three different drinks, and everybody was happy, no problem at all. And now it's just not the same. Now it's like a tyranny fest. Have you noticed that? It's kind of like a tyranny fest, huh? It's just like, what the heck's going on here at some of these airports and airlines? It's just bad. Really bad indeed, right? What do we do about it? Well, anyway, there are some states trying to sue and trying to straighten it out, and I say good for them for doing it, good for Kemp and I'm sorry, good for Governor Ron DeSantis and others. Alaska, they depend so much on the cruise lines, Florida and Alaska do, to where it's like, man, it is a huge hit to their economy, to their environment. Because it's not just the boats that go and the revenue that the boats, the cruise lines and the ships receive. It's all the revenue of flying in and out of airports, all the revenue of getting hotels before and after the event. Hey, let's dovetail this cruise with a Disney World trip in Florida or whatever. So, you know, there's a big, big, big revenue hit. And that's why some of these state governors are so interested in suing the government, going, you got to stop this. We can't just be shut down forever. You can't just literally obliterate our economy. It doesn't work that way. So the cruise industry to begin in July, will it really? I don't know, because it looks so different that it concerns me. You know, should we support cruise lines if they lock down and say, you got to have a vaccination? What do you think, Cameron? Should we shut down everybody who won't get a vaccine and say everybody can cruise that's vaccinated? People who are not cruise or vaccinated cannot cruise at all? That's where they want to go with this thing. Can't, Cameron thinks that it's up to God and he doesn't mind going on a cruise. He's just going to trust God, put it in God's hands, and he's okay if people aren't vaccinated. So am I. So is the governor of Florida. He's saying, look, you can't mandate this stuff. But I don't see others doing that. I see it becoming a very, very big battlefront for people to kind of have to work through and think about, and, you know. But I do. I remember the Friendly Skies days, and it used to be the Friendly Waters. You know what? Come and eat. Reminds me when I went on a cruise, I sat down, and they had just four or five good entrees. I just couldn't decide which one I wanted. And I looked at the guy, and I'm like, I just don't know which one I want. What should I get? And he said, well, why don't you get them both? You're on a cruise. You know, it's endless food. You can get just get both of them. If you don't want to eat it all, don't. Just eat, you know, get your two different entrees or three entrees or whatever you want and two or three desserts. And if you try it and you love it, eat it. If you don't and you get too full, then so what? Very interesting concept for me because I'm not used to throwing food or anything like that away. But it was very interesting. And so the cruise lines are a whole lot of fun, and I hope they open back up. But I don't have a lot of confidence. What I think they're going to do is open it up for the vaxxed. The rest of us, you know what? They're going to say, tough crap. Can't go. So I'm just not comfortable with all that, folks. I'm really not. Because where's the agency in that? Where's the freedom to choose in that, right? Very serious, serious concerns in my opinion. You know, I don't really know how to respond to all that stuff. Except to say that our prayers are that we can stand up tall enough. I mean, I appreciate Governor Ron DeSantis standing up. I appreciate the Alaskan governor jumping on the lawsuit. I appreciate, but we've got to really speak out boldly. If you believe in vaccines, fine, but don't force the rest of us. And it also brings up a question, what's going to happen to guys like me that won't get vaccinated? All right, am I just shut down from society entirely? I'll never be able to, you know, go to a movie, never be able to go to a play or a musical, never be able to go on a cruise or to Disneyland. Or, you know, because they're going to lock down. I got plans to go to Disney World towards the end of the year. Are they going to allow me to go, or are they going to say, uh-uh, no, 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 no. I guess you're not vaccinated. We've given you plenty of time to get the CocoVax, Sam. And tough beans, you're not going. Then I'll be really mad. I already have my flights and my hotels and my tickets and everything. But you got to really ask yourself, what are they going to do in America? What will the landscape look like in 6 months or a year? Or even, for that matter, 2 years, 5 years? It goes on and on, right? All right, ladies and gentlemen, they say work-life balance may be changing. More flexible schedules might become the norm in post-pandemic world. What do you think of that? That's what they're really working on changing. Some are now saying, hey, 4-10s is the only way to go. Forget a 5-day work week, do 4-10s. 40-hour week, boom. Others are saying, no, I don't think so. Some are saying it's better to have a 25-hour week. We'll come back and talk about that in a second. Sam Bushman, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Wow, sorry for the delay, ladies and gentlemen. I set my microphone down and couldn't find it for a second. You know, when you broadcast on the road, everything's not in front of you like it normally is. And so sorry about some of the little delays and things like that. I'm holding my mic for 2 hours with my hands, and I'm doing the very best I can. It's kind of a very strange circumstance when you're on the road some of the times. And I basically have been so swamped with life, I haven't been able to get the normal guests that I have on, too, to cover some of the content with me. Nevertheless, we're doing the best we can, and we're hanging with you tight. We got all kinds of interesting news. So we talked about the CDC and the cruise industry. Could we start in July? Will it really come back? And who will it come back for? The real questions you got to kind of contemplate there, right? All right, we're talking about a 25-hour work week now. Work life may be changing. More flexible schedules might become the norm in the post-pandemic world, they say. The pandemic, believe it or not, has forced a reassessment of work-life balance for many. And a story in Wired magazine chimes in by making the case for a five-hour workday. Yeah, they say the idea is that the traditional day, the eight-hour day at the office, is typically a waste of time. Yeah, it's filled with wasted time and a more concentrated stretch. Would say no lunch and limited breaks may be more what the doctor orders. They say it might even be a better idea than 4-10 or 4-8-hour days, they're saying. Why? Research indicates that 5 hours is about the maximum that people can actually focus on something or stay focused. Yes, some people can push past that. And some days you might be feeling great and get more done than that. But day in and day out, their research shows that your productivity goes so far down after a five-hour concentration. But you know what? The story is looking at the real-world examples. They've studied this, and they find that, you know what? People waste time at the office if it's 8 hours. They go on a lunch break. They go on a break. They have to go to the restroom. They have to do this. They have to get up and go walk by somebody's cubicle and talk for 10 minutes. They got to, because your brain can't handle more than 5 hours of solid focus concentration work. And in the old days, when it wasn't focused on your brain work, just manual labor, you could work all day like that. But now that it's so focused on using your brain every second, critical thinking skills and critical decision making on the fly and screen time in front of computers, and your body just cannot hold up that long. You can't look at screens and concentrate for 8 hours every single day, or 10 hours if you work 4-10s every single day. You just can't do it. So they're basically saying there's a better way. Yeah. They say expect more of the same in the general workplace. People can't really work more than 5 hours. Where am I getting this information? Forbes.remote is who's kind of one of the groups heading this up. So they're saying people sharing desks on a rotated schedule, people working five-hour shifts is the way to go. What do you think, Cameron? Can you work solid brain-numbing work for 8 hours every day? Really? Cameron thinks he can get it done, buddy. But they say if you want to retain top talent and if you want to, you know, provide solid work for your employees, people just cannot handle that kind of work. They're talking about hybrid flexible hours. Companies are making modifications. Job sharing, 4-day work weeks, 5-hour days, all this kind of stuff. It's very interesting. There's a lot of experimentation going on what's best these days. I kind of like a 25-hour week, man. I think we ought to all just work like 10 hours a week. Yeah. What's that book about, you know, working hardly at all? What was it? Something 8-hour work week or something like that? Anyway, I'll have to look it up, but it reminds me of that, though. It's just kind of like, wow, how little can we work? How little can we really focus on making a living, but yet, you know, support your family and do well doing it? Right? Anyway, very interesting indeed. Well, there's a lot of turmoil that has come from the COVID lockdowns. And I want to highlight an article that talks about one of them in quite detail. Because this is serious, serious business here, folks. So listen up. Steps to reduce stress-related drinking. I don't drink at all, ladies and gentlemen. I never drink. But the pandemic has really changed people's lives and turned a lot of people who used to not be drinkers into big-time drinkers. Many Americans increased their alcohol intake during the pandemic, with women and parents of young children being disproportionately affected. For most of her life, for example, they talk about this girl named Andrea Carbone, a 51-year-old paralegal living in Florida. She typically wasn't a big drinker. But when the pandemic struck, she worried constantly about her job, her health, the safety of her children. While many people were able to work from home last year, Ms. Carbone was not. She was required to still go into the office. Some mornings, she says, she would cry in her car on her way to the office. Why? Because it looked like, on her way to work in downtown Tampa, she said it looked like it was a ghost town. And as her panic and her concern and her stress levels soared, so did her alcohol intake. She says before the pandemic, she might have had a glass of wine once in a while with dinner. But by May, her intake of alcohol had increased substantially. Yeah, instead of having one drink of wine, glass of wine before she got home, or right when she got home, glass of wine with dinner, another glass of wine when she sat down to watch TV. Before you know it, she was down in a whole bottle of wine every night. Wow. Yeah. They say she's far from alone. The widespread fear, frustration, panic of the COVID is taking a serious toll on people, and drinking is going up like you would not believe. And sadly, ladies and gentlemen, the alcohol is only part of the problem from a physical health point of view, right? The bigger problem is some of these children are in vulnerable situations with people that are drinking so much. What happens is abuse goes up, sexual, physical, emotional. People are in denial about their alcohol intake. People are defensive. We've really created another crisis. And it's an alcohol crisis. It's a serious problem. Think about that. What do we do about this, folks? You can just blame it on the person drinking. You go, oh, well, they're just an alkie, whatever. You got to learn to control yourself. You can say that kind of stuff. And to some degree, it may be true. Hey, you got to get a handle on it. At the same time, how much do you blame people when they're just panicked out of their minds, when they're going to ghost town offices, when they're literally struggling with their children home all day long, and you know, people are so out of their element, what do? Now, I'm not defending drinking alcohol. I'm just trying to get people to understand it is a very complicated situation. It's very easy to, from the outside, look at it and be very critical. It's very hard to be in the middle of some of these situations and for people to cope and to deal with these things. And the reason I bring this up is because we need to really, really watch people around us and be concerned for them and find ways to decrease their exposure to some of the negative elements, whether it be alcohol or drugs or anything else, and increase our exposure to God and to worship and to friends and family and loved ones and things that can build your life and stabilize your life and protect you. Right? Serious stuff. Steps to reduce stress-related drinking. Makes you wonder where we go with this. What are we going to be able to do? What are we going to be able to do about this for people? Believe it or not, hospitals are struggling with this. 1 in 4 adults report drinking more this past year to deal with the stress. Yeah, women have just proportionally left the labor force. And now these women are suffering. They say there's a 41% increase of women drinking more than they should. It's turning into disruptions in sleep, disruptions in being able to care for children, etc. Hospitals around the country now have reported an increase for hepatitis, cirrhosis, liver damage, and other forms of alcohol-related diseases are on the rise. Almost no group has been spared, they claim. There's a group called Driftwood Recovery, an addiction and mental health organization, says parents are drinking heavily because they're dealing with their children, their jobs, and their work roles and parenting roles have no space. There's overlap to the point where, well, people are turning to excessive drinking. Some lost their jobs. Some were forced to shutter their businesses. People's daily structures have been torn apart. People have no purpose. They're aimless. Sometimes college students feel socially disconnected as they're forced home to do their collegiate work at home now and not interact with others at all. They're drinking. People are drinking because they're depressed, because they can't hug their grandchildren. Wow. One guy sheltered at home watched his stock market investments go south, and he just started to increase the drinking as the finances went worse. He said, I almost want to die. It's too much fear, too much boredom. Those are the two emotions. So I drank and drank and drank, he said. They say many people, though, on the good news side of the discussion, have found novel ways to rein in their drinking. One guy went to a group called Moderation Management. It's an online group to help people kind of manage eating and whatever else it is. It's an online community to cut back on your drinking. People are looking for tips and advice to reduce their drinking. This one guy said, I can get more things done. I sleep better. I behave better now that I'm not drinking at all. There's apps called Cutback Coach. It's a app to help people cut back on their drinking, etc. The app tracks the daily intake of alcohol and helps people regulate their usage. They in the app, they talk about all the calories you avoid and how much money you save. Anyway, there you have it. Very, very scary stuff. Beware, my fellow Americans. Don't let them destroy your life. All right, that's a wrap. Live radio, on-demand radio at your fingertips, lovingliberty.net. Download the iPhone app and the Android app. And donate liberally today. Keep an eye on all the incredible talk show hosts around the clock. Syndicated by lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, will you please? God save the Republic of the United States of America.